To set the scene, we have two separate stories that, when we take them together, shed some light on the passions of our art scene guest today. The first is a letter to the editor of Studies in American Humor from 2022. Lisa Gabbert of Utah State University writes, "Editors, I greatly enjoyed reading Kirsten Leng's article titled Comedy as a Practice of Care, Restorative Laughter and Reciprocal Empathy in the Pandemic, in which she argues that comedy can be understood as a practice of care, meaning that it has affective and nurturing dimensions. She draws on the statements and comments of the late-night comedians during the COVID-19 pandemic, who, although professionals, offered their comedy as a form of care for their audiences under difficult conditions in an attempt to establish genuine connection. I love this idea and would go even further to suggest that some forms of care work and comedy are inexorably interconnected. It is not an accident, for example, that health professions have a long-standing tradition of using comedy, because those receiving care and those giving care need relief from their reciprocal burdens. Caregiving can be greatly satisfying, but it can also be exhausting and emotionally draining. As Leng notes, comedy does important restorative and emotional work that allows workers to continue their difficult labor. After all, is not all care work a means by which lives can be made more comfortable and livable? Comedians and audiences connecting during the pandemic to relieve the pain of isolation, uncertainty, and loneliness discovered this too. Leng turned to podcast comedy to ease profound pain, psychological pain. And when my own life conditions became impossibly difficult, I turned to light romantic comedies. The care work that various comic artifacts can accomplish is critical and important because they offer laughter as a therapy in exactly these kinds of moments." A letter to the editor from Lisa Gabbert of Utah State University. And she uses the phrase there at the end, laughter as a therapy. Keep that in mind. Gabbert's observations give us some insight into a major concern of Janine Luby, who will tell us soon about her work with laughter and healing. The second story is titled Laughter in the Garden. A pair of renowned Chinese artists bring joy, beauty, and a sense of whimsy to a once-abandoned space in Chicago's Bridgeport neighborhood. That's the title of the essay written by John Clark in Chicagoland Garden. And he tells the tale this way. "It began with a party. As a friend later commented, everything is always party this, party that with them. They always find something to celebrate." The Zhou brothers, as they call themselves, internationally recognized Chinese artists who have their Chicago studio in an old Polish community center in the Bridgeport neighborhood, are here. And they have also transformed a vacant lot into an urban garden oasis of trees, sculpture, and water. It's a place where they commune with nature and view their art. It's also a setting for all the parties of their friends. The Zhous welcomed us at the door, smiling and laughing as they asked us in. During dinner, the Zhous learned I was an architect and confided that they wanted to turn a vacant lot down the street into a sculpture garden. In 2 weeks, curators from a museum in Germany were coming to view their sculpture, and the Zhous wanted an appropriate setting. I laughed and said they hadn't allowed themselves much time. One of the brothers exclaimed, "My brother and I like to think about things, then act." The next afternoon, the Zhous surprised me by arriving at my office with a bottle of wine. They laughed and said they wanted to work out their garden concept. So we drank wine, talked about their garden, and sketched. The Zhous did move quickly on their garden design, with about 50 people working every day, often late into the night, cleaning up the site, building walls, installing a gate, setting site lighting for the sculptures, pouring concrete for the central patio, pond, and sculpture pads. And since the Jaus finished their garden, it has been the site for innumerable parties. The building to the south, which they eventually bought, became a museum for their work and is now the principal entrance to the garden, which has hosted numerous weddings. There are parties for every season. On the 4th of July, the Jaus celebrate with spectacular fireworks displays, and the Chinese, after all, invented gunpowder and fireworks. But I like the garden most when the sky is a certain way, maybe in the late midsummer, on an afternoon right after the rain, when enormous figural clouds have a golden glow, and I meet the Jaus in their garden. Then we sit and talk and drink some wine, and, of course, laugh. That by John Clark, an architect in Chicago. Now we'll take note of the presence of wine in that story as a way to celebrate life and happiness and well-being. So a story there about art, the urban environment, and laughter connects as well with Janine Luby. Janine Luby is a stand-up comedian from Scranton, a wellness educator, founder of Laugh to Live, and as she might put it, an artist of sorts. We recently spoke with Janine and Teresa O'Connor, director of the Artists for Art Gallery, about their project Restart Scranton to inspire the community to pick up litter and, in so doing, help beautify the city while at the same time creating sustainable art. Now, in the second part of our conversation with Janine, she reflects on the success of Restart and about some of the events at the AFA Gallery that bring her various passions together.
I think when we were here last, it might have even been before the workshops, and we did a community cleanup. We had collected over 16 bags of trash, 4 containers full of what I call them cool found items, things that you're like, this is interesting. It's going to go into a landfill, but maybe it could be part of a piece of artwork. So we did that one Sunday, and then we had the 2 workshops. One was more for, we say adults, because we had some smaller, sharp-edgy kind of pieces, and people came out, and they were buzzing around, just so happy. I'm a fan of Project Runway, so when they like run around and they're on schedule, come on, make it work. And people were running around, having a blast, and then we had one on a Saturday, primarily for kids, and we had Dare to Wonder. This Thea Cochran is wonderful. She had them making magic fairy wands and collages, all from things that, now not just from the trash, mind you, but things that you'd throw away anyway, like from around the house, like maybe, you know, the brown paper that a paper towel is on, like the holder or toilet paper holder, things like that, or things that people, I donated enough things, like things I've picked up through the years at conferences, silly little items, like what are you going to do with them? You're just going to keep them around the house. All that stuff, the kids had a ball. And then some of their artwork was included in the exhibit. But my gosh, to see how Teresa at AFA Gallery curated it, you walk around, and I will say my mother can be a tough customer. And she saw it last week and she said, I cannot believe, Janine, that this stuff was litter. And every piece is so different from the one next to it. They did a fantastic job, the 10 commissioned artists, but also the people from the community. There were other artists who weren't necessarily part of the 10 who were commissioned, but other artists who said, you know what, I have a piece that I'd like to submit. I submitted 4 pieces that I'm proud of, and each one was kind of different. One was more humorous, one was more political, that I'm really proud of. And I will toot my own horn in the sense that I loved hearing from people who were like, that moved me, or I loved your pieces. And it feels good. And I personally want to continue it. The Restart Scranton, like I said, this phase is pretty much kind of finished in the sense that we had a wonderful grant from the county. Now, going forward, I would like to continue it only because, I shouldn't say only, but I am truly interested in keeping the community clean, but also feeding my soul with art. So I would like to see it go forward with more workshops, with a fashion show maybe, with items made from sustainable, you know, things we find in a consignment shop, whatever. And I am now my big, I don't know, I guess I should put it out there because the universe will hear it. I'd love to get an actress named Kate Micucci. She's a comedian who plays ukulele. She's a very quirky person. She's from the Lehigh Valley, went to Keystone College. So any alum listening, I'm hoping for a hookup. But she's come back to the area to speak through, I don't know what year, but she spoke at the graduation of Keystone College. She is someone who was living in California, and I think this could be a sign from the universe. She recently moved to New York City. So she's back on the East Coast. She goes out and draws on things that are just on the curb. We're talking old TVs, refrigerators. And her style is very cartoonish. Kind of, it reminds me a little bit of Keith Haring, like those kind of cartoony things. And I would love, my goal, big goal, would be if we could get her to come here and maybe even like lead people in where we just go through the street and we make things pretty that are just sitting on the curb that aren't so pretty. So lots of big ideas. Hope to make it happen.
Tell us a little bit more about stand-up. The first time we met, you told us about how you came as a Scrantonian to do stand-up, but just give us a little background.
There's a lot of folks in the area. I'm really thrilled that we're getting more and more people in northeastern Pennsylvania performing, but I started, and I kind of hate to say it almost because people will go, oh, she's been doing it for 20 years. I've done it on and off, so it's not like I was in New York or else you think, why doesn't she have a Netflix special by now? But I've done it on and off, and I started probably about almost 20 years ago and went to visit a friend in Houston, and I thought, if I stink, I don't have to tell anybody. And the open mic night went well. I came home and I kind of ever since on and off have done that. And then I kind of dabbled in improv. But I've ultimately gone back to the stand-up, which is really, I mean, it's so different from the improv. It's very personal. It's very, you're on your own on stage. But it's a great way for me to deal with everyday problems, to write, which I love to write. And I just really enjoy it. And now I produce my own shows. And I say, you know what, if I wanted to be rich, I wouldn't be doing this. It's not about that. But I do produce my own shows because maybe I'm learning I'm a little bit of a control freak, but I like to be in charge and driving. I like to do it the way I want to do it. I like to do shows for women, by women. So, I mean, thankfully, things are changing. But women, you'd see a lot of comedy shows where it would be all men. Or you'd say, like, I'll use the word token because there might be like, oh, we have a woman on it, we're good. I definitely think that's changing, but you'll still see more all male shows than you will all female shows, or like half and half. You do see more. But I love producing these shows where it's women performers for a women audience. They relate to the jokes. Now, that's not to say that I don't do shows where it's a mix.
You must get questions about the state of comedy today, maybe when you were first starting out 20 years ago. How are things different? What do you think about these days?
You know, this is something we could probably have a whole separate panel conversation on, like how that's changing, how comedy is changing, how stand-up comedy is changing, because there are certain, you know, social mores and, oh, you can't talk about that, or that I don't want to spend too much time on that because, you know, oh, that's offensive. And it's interesting because there's an important difference, I think, between speech that is hateful or, you know, racist, sexist, hateful versus making someone uncomfortable. If it makes you uncomfortable, that's okay. You don't have to like it. It doesn't mean the person shouldn't say it, especially if they're an artist, which is what stand-up is. We're not going out there saying we're splitting the atom and you should listen to us. It's someone who's entertaining, often with parody and sharper humor. You're trying to raise awareness and make people think. So yeah, it could make you uncomfortable. And nothing good comes from something that's stuck in the dark. You need to bring the light to them so that we are talking about them. When people can laugh, they're like, oh, it's okay to talk about this? Absolutely. I mean, that's something that can be debated. So yeah, it's an interesting time for comedy. And there's also a lot of people who are becoming famous because they've told jokes from their house and they're on YouTube. And there are other comedians who don't really, like, hey, they didn't spend the time out there. And I can think of one gentleman, I won't even name him, but like he's selling out stadiums because he was on YouTube. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of sophomoric humor out there that some folks might want to see. And that's fine. I mean, the thing is, as long as it's not hateful or hurtful, laugh at what you want to laugh at. Support who you want to support. I would just say when you do that, make sure you look around locally and support, because there's a lot of funny people locally too.
You mentioned the research, and there is a significant body of research supporting the notion.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, Norman Cousins is someone, like, a lot of younger people don't know this name, and that's okay, but I always reference, or even people who don't know his name are like, oh, I remember hearing something about that. He was someone from 1968. His book came out, An Anatomy of an Illness as Perceived by the Patient. And his article, which actually was published in 1976 in the New England Journal of Medicine. So for me, that was the tipping point for the medical community to go, laughter is a good thing. He was someone with a serious connective tissue disorder and he was in pain. And he said, hey, I'm the person with this disorder. What if my attitude was good? And I laughed and I did positive things. I'll bet I can make a difference. So he wrote about that and said how he, when he laughed, really heartily laughed, not just but like a belly laughed. He got 2 hours of pain-free sleep from like really hearty 15 or 20 minutes of laughing. And that's those endorphins, kind of like they come out during exercise too, but they do come out during laughter. And those are the ones they call like feel-good hormones. So he was able to write about it. They published it in the New England Journal of Medicine. Ever since, there's more and more research out, and I will tell you, I scratch my head and go, why aren't we using this more? Tapping into it, it helps kids who are burn victims. They show them funny cartoons so they laugh and they don't feel their pain as much. And the research honestly continues. But the one book, an investigation of laughter, a scientific investigation, that's the one where I really could get dorky about when people laugh, why they laugh. Like years ago, women laughing at men's jokes, especially their bosses, because, you know, they wanted to stroke the ego. And hopefully that's not necessary these days. But different things of when people laugh. We laugh when we're nervous. We laugh in an uncomfortable situation. So it's not always tied to funny. But of course, if it is, that's the great thing.
Janine, you've seen so much of the research, and your own experience has convinced you that laughter is important for us as individuals and for those we live and work with, the community at large. And you're doing your part not just to tell us jokes in stand-up to make us laugh, but you've started the Humor Therapy Fund.
Thank you for asking about that. So when I worked at my day job in communications, one of my benefits, which was great, was that I could get 80% reimbursement for a master's degree. And I took advantage of that. That was from 1999 through 2006. I attended Marywood University. I was able to earn a master's of arts in communications. And it was a great opportunity. I took classes I had never taken before, leadership, business, things I didn't have that really were beneficial. And one of my final classes was a research class. So of course, I researched about humor and laughter, which is what led me actually to laughter yoga. And then my final project, I said, okay, I want to definitely do something what I care about, humor and laughter. So I did a benefit and I got about 6 different comedians who most of them are all still in the area, which was fantastic. And I believe I was actually the only woman in that, but I was the woman in charge. So that was what was important. But no, we had this event that was held at Marywood, about 6 different comedians. We raised money and the idea was, what can I do with it so that it can do some good after that, spreading humor and laughter? And Jean Bavard, God rest her soul, she has passed on, but she was the director of Scranton Area Foundation then. And I always credit her with having great patience because sometimes I'm difficult. And she's like, Janine, I don't know if we can do this. And I got a little meh, meh. And she said, well, we'll figure out a way. And she was wonderful. And so what we had done then was we raised money with this comedy show. And we created the Humor Therapy Fund, but it was at that point called what's like a pass-through. And I think you compare that maybe when people set up temporary funds, like if someone has a fire or whatever. So it was the idea was pass-through, raise the money and pass it through to the part two. Part two was to have this workshop where a woman came from New York who talked about using humor, and then we had it for social workers. So they were able to learn how to de-stress for themselves, but for their clients, and also earn continuing education units, which was important. So we paid for like the speaker, the brochures, the lunch, that sort of thing. And then there was money left. And Jean said to me, do you want to keep this going? And I said, yes. And then it went from a pass-through to what is now called a donor-advised fund, meaning so Scranton Area Community Foundation, they have the money for a lot of different funds. So they're the ones fiscally responsible. They have all that. I don't touch that. But I am, as the, I guess you'd call it the advisor, I raise awareness about it with some help from them. They cannot actually raise money for it. I am responsible for that. And then the money goes into the fund. They manage it. And once a year, we can disperse a grant. Now, it's taken a while. It's 2005 is when I created it. So we're talking 20 years it's been around. We've been able to give out grants, I want to say, for the past 8, because it had to build, and I don't understand the logistics of this, but folks in nonprofit do. They take from the percentage of interest, whatever, whatever. But we've been able to give out grants. We do 1 a year. They're not huge. So for folks who are like looking to add a wing to your building, that's not going to happen. But we're talking $1,000, a little under $1,000 grants, maybe $700, $800. And they were small to start, like $300. Now we're at like $700, $800. And as we go on through years, we'll hopefully get to bigger grants. But right now, they're helping groups like last year was the Boys and Girls Club. The previous year was NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, Goodwill, V&A Hospice, Laughing at My Nightmare. There's folks in Wilkes-Barre and Volunteers in Medicine. And now this year's grant is going to the Abington Community Library. And what they're doing with the money is I love that they actually gave it a serious thought. They have a whole plan. They're getting humor toolkits that will be kept in the library and they can be checked out. It's for teenagers, a laughter lab. And it will, because of the grant, it will be free to, I think they're looking at 12, 13, or 14, but teenagers. It's that time of year, they said, when the kids are getting stressed about end of the year exams and things, so they want to be able to let them have fun, connect, laugh, de-stress. So that's the Humor Therapy Fund, to keep spreading healing, laughter, and humor in the area.
sometime before that, I saw a regional TV news feature on people you brought in from Pittsburgh to work with young people. Now, what was that project?
Yeah, so that was probably this past summer. The Boys and Girls Club of Northeastern Pennsylvania received the grant last year. And my dear friend, who I actually got to know, during the pandemic, NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, was trying to keep people's spirits up by doing things online, because that's what we had to do. So it was a Zoom meeting. They had this woman named Gab Benesso from Pittsburgh. She's a mental health advocate. She speaks publicly. She does stand-up comedy. And she also does children's workshops or shows. So we got connected. We've become great friends. And she's even come to town to perform. We did comedy together last September. And so we forged this friendship. And last July, in the summertime, she was able to come in with her partner, Josh, and they have the Josh and Gab show. And what they do typically, they don't usually do summertime stuff, but it worked well for the Boys and Girls Club to do it in the summertime. They typically do school assemblies, and they do great stuff where they do original music. And the whole idea is to tell a story through their music, but in a funny way, in a fun, relatable way. Gab talks about not getting a glue stick from a girl who was mean when she was a kid. And, you know, Josh talks about almost getting into a fight with a kid at an amusement park, but then they worked it out. So it's that whole kind of idea of be kind to one another and to yourself, of course. So in the beginning, she said it was anti-bullying, but she said she doesn't like to use that word because she said, I don't want to be anti any child, because a lot of times the kids who are bullied are certainly experiencing some stress of their own, perhaps at home or whatever. So the whole idea is to get the kid. Oh my gosh, the kids at the Boys and Girls Club were up dancing and they just had a ball. It was really fun.
So if people hear this and they're interested, they should check the website for the Scranton Area Community Foundation?
Yes, Scranton Area Community Foundation. If they look or even just Google it, the Humor Therapy Fund, the page will be there and they can donate to it, but they can also watch for the grant applications if they're a nonprofit, only open at a certain time or season. I think they're probably maybe more toward the fall because we just gave out money for this year. But if you are a nonprofit, the one thing I would say is, because I'm a stickler for this, it is really for humor and laughter. So if there's no plan or thought, I can tell. Like, you know, oh, we're just going to get people together and we're going to have cake and ice cream and they're going to laugh. Like, no, that's not the idea. You know, what is your plan for this? I mean, even if you have like a waiting room and you want to put comic books in it or you want to put some kind of joke books, that's the idea, getting people to heal and come together through laughter and humor.
We've said it before, Janine, you don't separate the art that you create or the comedy that you make. And you have some events that are coming up.
Okay, I'll do it like this, if it's okay. Three things in a row if people are looking for something fun. And it's the same weekend as the Office 5K, so I'm hoping to capitalize on people who are in town. So it is Friday, May 2nd at the AFA Gallery. Once again, my friend Teresa O'Connor, who's so supportive. As part of my humor, I am not what you'd call, I wouldn't call myself a fine artist that I can draw a portrait. You might be like, okay, my head doesn't look like that. I don't draw in that way, but I got into this habit a little over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, doing doodles on my phone. So they're digital. And they're kind of raw. One of my friends says he liked them because they're kind of like punk rocky for him. And he likes the fact that they're so gritty or raw. So I'm doing things that others might go, that's not art. But I'm communicating humor through my doodles. And I've gotten to the habit of doing a doodle a day. But on Friday, May 2nd, what I'm going to be doing is having an exhibit. It's a pop-up exhibit. So it'll just be there for a week. It's going to be at AFA Gallery. So it's going to open that night. Stop by for a glass of wine. Of course, there's no charge to come on in and take a look. And there'll be other art in the other part of the studio. But my part is going to be funny wine girl doodles. And what I'm trying with this, and I hope to maybe take it even in a further direction going forward, there will be a doodle that's framed and underneath will be a QR code. And so the QR code will lead to either a video or audio that goes to a joke that accompanies the doodle. So the one that you have in front of you is kind of like a Life is a Cabernet thing where I've got like a Bob Fosse-ish kind of thing. And that ties to a joke where I say that sometimes I have to go through three choruses of all that jazz to get the automatic faucet to work, you know, and then I have to send my stand in to get the paper towel dispenser. So there's the doodles tied to the joke. That's Friday, May 2nd. May 3rd in the same spot. We're really partnering with AFA Gallery here. Saturday the 3rd at AFA Gallery, another comedy show. This one is not a fundraiser. It's just fun. And it's going to be myself, Mary Raypatch, Tim Conniff, who was from the area, lives in Philadelphia now. He's coming to town. So three of us, and then the second half, Scranton Improv, will do comedy. So you've got art on Friday, you've got comedy on Saturday, and then Sunday morning, which is the 4th, May 4th, it is World Laughter Day. The gentleman who started Laughter Yoga, Dr. Kataria, has started this movement that says, hey, let's all, can you imagine how powerful if we all laugh together? And that will be at Alpha Gallery. I will be there Sunday morning, 11 a.m. in person. Come on out, laugh with me. And then, of course, later in the day, I'll be on my Facebook, Laugh to Live, and I'll be doing that as well in the afternoon.
Janine Luby, stand-up comedian from Scranton, a wellness educator, founder of Laugh to Live. As she might put it, she's an artist of sorts, and she has established the Humor Therapy Fund. 20 years ago she did that, through the Scranton Area Community Foundation. For information about the Humor Therapy Fund, you can check the website of the Scranton Area Community Foundation at safdn.org. safdn.org. And now the events. Tomorrow at the AFA Gallery, first Friday, May 2nd, it's a pop-up show from the Funny Wine Girl, and there are doodles that she has made on her phone with a QR code, and if you check out the QR code, you'll find a joke that's connected with the doodle, and that's first Friday in Scranton. And then on Saturday, it's the Art of Laughter, Funny Wine Girl and the AFA Gallery present. It's Saturday, May 3rd at 7 in the evening, and so it's a stand-up show with Tim Conniff, Mary Rapach, and Janine Luby. And then the second half will feature the Scranton Improv Group performing. And so that's the Art of Laughter this Saturday, May 3rd at 7 at the Artists for Art Gallery. And to mark World Laughter Day this Sunday, May 4th, Janine Luby will be at the AFA Gallery at 11 a.m., and she invites you to show up and laugh with her. She'll probably be doing some laughter yoga, and then she will be on Facebook later in the day to help us laugh and celebrate the day and just the place of laughter in our lives. For more information on the web, laughtolive.net. That's where you can find information about Janine, laughtolive.net. And for the events, artistsforart.org, artistsforart.org. And Janine spells her name J-E-A-N-N-I-N-E. Luby is L-U-B-Y, Janine Luby. And for more information on the events, artistsforart.org.